Brisbane's B105. It is 20 minutes away from 8. Stav, Abby and Matt, 18 degrees right now in Alpha Bucks. We're going to play that. That's coming up on the air just after 8 o'clock. Now, as many people are aware, today is the day before Anzac Day.
Yes.
So we all have the day off tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will be getting up, going to dawn services and being a part of that, which I think is an amazing thing to do. People get the opportunity to go and do that. But I was very lucky to walk the Kokoda Trail a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
I got back. It's really weird because people have been asking me about it. And they're like, when did you get back? And I was like, last week. They're like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say that it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life that I've ever done. My expectation of it wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you thought it was going to be tough, but you didn't think the spiritual part of it
yeah.
would affect you? I mean, I guess it's the history, I should say.
Yeah. And that's the part that I think makes that so amazing. And I would highly recommend any person who has thought about wanting to do it or is going to say, I'm going to do it one day, absolutely do it. Like, do it when you can. Mm. Take up the opportunity. And what kind of blew me away as well is just how close Papua New Guinea is to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's there. It's a 3-hour flight from Brisbane.
Well, you've got to remember the history of it is why they went over there. That was Australian territory.
Mm.
And that's
back then, it wasn't called Papua New Guinea.
Correct.
It was Australian territory that they were defending.
Correct.
And the whole understanding was that they were the last defence before they'd get to Australia.
And that's the story with it. You know, they're very proud of their independence that you learn over there. Apparently, their Independence Day in Papua New Guinea
yeah.
is just like a wild party. Mm. They go crazy. And as we walked the Kokoda track, we did it from Kokoda back towards Port Moresby.
Because it's downhill?
No. That's the actual track that they took
right.
defending it. Because
and they took it because it was a direct route? Is that why? Like it was the quickest way to get past the island?
Because
it wasn't at the hardest, but...
Well, the track has always been there and it is actually, it's like a highway to the villages throughout there. So as you walk through it, you actually pass villages and stay in villages along the way.
Yeah.
So Kokoda also has an airstrip. So if you could get Kokoda and hold Kokoda, you had the possibility to bring in supplies.
Mm. Right.
So whoever had that...
And that was there, that airstrip was there in the 1940s,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, and the one that you land in on when you go to do the walk is the same airstrip
wow.
that
right.
was there. And so that's why Kokoda was so important, and the Japanese were coming from the other side, and they
yep.
wanted to get that, because if you get that, you can bring in your supplies.
Refuel.
So it was kind of like a race to get there.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
You know, and the Aussies that went over there and fought, they were never meant to leave Australian shores.
Mm.
They called them Chocos because the real army, the non-reserve, said that they would melt under the pressure.
Oh.
And
so were they still in training? Is that what happened? They were still in training. All the other soldiers were overseas. So it was like, oh gosh, let's send them in.
Yeah. So they were all overseas fighting. And then this sort of occurred
wow.
and they had to send them over. They were never... meant to, they were never legally allowed to go and fight outside of Australia, so they had to change legislation to let those soldiers go over there and fight in the jungle.
Wow.
Now, they had all their camo that was coloured ready for battle in the desert. So when they're standing in a green jungle,
wow.
they were like a beacon.
Mm.
And when you do the walk, they explain the history to you all along the way. And I think the Prime Minister, he's there, and I might have this fact wrong. I think that Brigade Hill is where he is walking to
yep.
to have sort of a ceremony and everything tomorrow on Anzac Day.
Is that what you see towards the end when people get a photos when they've completed the walk?
No. Brigade Hill's about halfway through.
Right. So is that the top? Because you always see the photo when people complete it and they take a photo under the arches.
No, well, that is the end, but
yeah.
it's not the highest point.
Right.
Mount
right.
Bellamy is the highest point, and it's funny because when you're walking it, they're like, today we're going to the highest point of the whole track.
Mm.
You're like, wow, it's Mount Bellamy. And then you finally get to the top and you envision this big, wide opening and you can see everything, but you're still just in the centre of the jungle.
Right.
You're like, so get wow. out your compass so that
wow.
you can see that you're the highest.
Really, yeah. It's really interesting.
Still the jungle.
Yeah. You know, and we actually, as you walk along, they have these sort of setups. They have memorials and then they have big cages that have all the stuff that they've been finding on the track. So
yeah.
there's like rows of shells and guns and things. And we had, obviously, porters that were with us who were all pretty much descendants of the Fuzzy Wuzzy Angels. And you hear the stories of them. And they were local villagers who used to carry out wounded men on their shoulders.
And a lot of people lost their lives, they did as well.
100%. Yeah, to take them to safety. And, you know, you hear the stories of they literally would carry them on their shoulders on stretchers and then hold banana leaves over the faces of these men to stop the light from getting into their eyes and stuff like that. And one of the villages we went to actually had the last remaining Fuzzy Wuzzy Angel. You used to be able to go there and you could meet him and speak with him, but he's passed away a few years ago and there's like a big shrine there to him that you can go and see. So after you do a bit of a ceremony at Brigade Hill, it's really quite moving. You have a big walk that day after that, and I could not help after hearing stories and things but just picture my 22-year-old son being sent over there. And imagine going to bed every single night, right? And I mean, it would never leave your mind, but laying in bed and wondering, where is my child? Are they alive? Are they okay? How are they feeling? You know?
Every time the phone rings, you'll be like...
Exactly.
They used to send telegrams back in the day. I know that my... when my great-grandfather was missing in action, they sent a telegram saying that he's missing. And then they didn't have contact for another year and a half.
Wow.
Within that time. Like, do you have a funeral? Do you have some sort of...
And they don't know. No,
but isn't that bizarre to think now that someone's just missing, or how delayed that information would come through?
Yeah, it takes a while.
And it's given me such... I always respected Anzac Day, and I've always respected, I think, what...
Well, you would have had a lot of grandparents that would have fought in the war.
Yeah, but I haven't heard any of their stories, really.
I know, but you really should now, like, if you look into it, because it would be amazing, because you definitely do.
Of course, of course. But when you do something like this and you walk in their footsteps, you have such a better appreciation to be, like, it was hard, right? And we struggled, people got foot rot, people got really sick.
And you trained.
And we trained.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden you're on plane, you haven't trained, you haven't got the medical facilities, you don't go over with a doctor like you did. It would have been...
People shooting at you.
Yeah. No one's shooting. And you actually walk past these foxholes in the ground where you know they were sitting with guns and they would point out to you, and as you'd stand there and they would go, okay, so you see 40 metres that way, there was a Japanese sniper there. And you realise how much danger they were in. But I just wanted to quickly read this. This is one of the poems that we read during the ceremony. And it's just, it shows you what the PNG locals did for us. And it's called The Fuzzy Wuzzy Angels. Many a mother in Australia, when a busy day is done, sends a prayer to the Almighty for the keeping of her son, asking that an angel guide him and bring him safely back. Now we see those prayers are answered on the Owen Stanley track. For they haven't any halos, any holes slashed in the ears, and their faces worked by tattoos and scratch pines on their hair. Bringing back the wounded, just as steady as a hearse, using leaves to keep the rain off, as gentle as a nurse. Slow and careful in bad places, on the awful mountain track, and the look upon their faces makes us think that Christ was black. Not a move to hurt the carried, as they treat him like a saint. It's a picture worth recording that an artist's yet to paint. Many a lad will see his mother and the husbands hug their wives, just because the Fuzzy Wuzzy carried them to save their lives. From mortar and machine gun fire, or a chance surprise attack, to safety and the care of doctors at the bottom of the track. May the mothers in Australia, when they offer up a prayer, mention those impromptu angels with the fuzzy wuzzy hair. And that got me good, man. Someone read that out and I just everyone started crying. But it's an amazing experience. And to anyone who has served in the army,